You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside Wall Street Matt Modica and the King Scott Angle. I am Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, the day off. We're coming up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be joined by the all-in-key Jake Seeley for hour number three. Jake joins the program in hour three. But first, we recap all of week number six. Matt Modica, what's going on?
There's a lot going on, especially starting with Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure we're going to dive into that deep. But, you know, it's the NFL. Every week we're watching these guys go down. Also of note, Scott will no longer be known as the King. He'll be known as Elvid.
Elvid?
Going forward, yes.
Elvid. So
I'm assuming neither of you saw Curb last night.
I did not see Curb last night. I did not see Curb last night. I had Giants were on. I also watched a lot of I had to catch up on other HBO programming. Scotty, what's up, man?
Good morning. You know, maybe Matt will be off later this week if I don't like what I see when I watch Curb. You know, he might be in the hospital. But everything is good again, Greg, in the football state of New Jersey. How about that? Everything is right again in the universe.
That's not nice to the Jet fans, Scott. They got robbed. They absolutely screwed them over yesterday.
That's true, but I'm more pointing towards the fact that the Giants won last night.
So not, is that right? Like, why would I want the Giants to win this game?
Yeah, when the Giant fans want them to lose, they win.
It's unbelievable. Go out, and it's unbelievable.
And, Scott, that was not a negative connotation, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. So we'll talk a lot.
Oh, wait, I got a question for you, though.
Please,
you got to be pretty happy that you held on to Andrew Luck, because he's got to be getting, you know, with all these quarterbacks going down across the league, there's trade value for him.
Well, there's trade value there. I don't know why you want to start the show off with Andrew Luck, but there's trade value there for him, but he doesn't help anybody now, right? Like, he doesn't help anybody today, and there's no one has any idea when he's coming back. So it's tough. But, yes, the biggest story, I'm glad nobody here tweeted, oh my God, what a week in the NFL. We've never seen anything like this. When we saw just last week all these injuries go down.
Jake didn't tweet that?
I haven't checked Jake's Twitter. I'll confirm that during the break. But I feel like we have not seen that yet. Aaron Rodgers is the big story. And we're going to, after our first break here, we're going to discuss that very much in depth, because there's so much to pull apart here when it comes to the Packers. But Matt, they entirely fell apart yesterday after Rodgers' injury.
Yeah, but look, they're on the road at Minnesota. Even for Rodgers, it was one of his tougher games of the season going into it. Brett Hundley was thrown into the fire yesterday. How good is Brett Hundley? I really don't know. I'm a UCLA fan. I watched him in college. He was pretty good. I don't think they're going outside. I know I'm hearing all the rumblings for Colin Kaepernick, for Tony Romo to come out of the booth. But I think they're going to roll with Brett Hundley.
Yeah, I think so, too. Mike McCarthy said so after the game that we're rolling with Brett Hundley. Collins is our backup quarterback here. And that's it. Like, we're not messing around with Romo or Kaepernick. I didn't expect them to. But, Scott, what I was a little bit surprised about, and I get it, he came in the middle of the game against a very good defense. Hundley looked completely, like, starstruck, but, like, he did not seem comfortable at any point. Like, you just look at his facial expressions, and just like, oh my God. You know, that was like the reaction that I felt from him.
Yeah, he didn't look prepared. Like, on his first third down, he had to call a timeout. You know, and just like, that's average fan reaction. Go get Tony Romo. Mm-hmm. Tony Romo, like, has played half of a game in the last few years. And, you know, this guy has not spent training camp. He's missed the first 6 weeks. He can't just come in based off of past talent alone and learn a new offense. I think the whole Romo thing is silly.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Brett Hundley's been the backup there for a little while. They're going to give him a chance to see what he's got. But how long will Brett Hundley be in charge in Green Bay? Will we see Aaron Rodgers again? And what does this do to all of the Green Bay pass-catching options? We'll discuss that when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Roto Experts here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's get into it, guys. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback, Green Bay Packers, goes down after a brutal drop by Martellus Bennett, for those Martellus Bennett owners out there who had room to run. I'm not going to be a Martellus Bennett owner after Tuesday, for the record. Nevertheless, so Aaron Rodgers goes down on a hit, and the hit was clean. The hit was totally fine. And he goes down, and he's kind of clutching his shoulder from what it seemed like. He's on the ground for a little while. And he never popped back up. Aaron Rodgers, you know, pops back up a lot and walks off, goes into the blue tent, and he comes out, and you can just see like this disgust on his face. They told him in that blue tent, he's like, yeah, bro, you got a broken collarbone. And he goes on the court. Brett Hundley taps him, and he goes off into the sunset. Broken collarbone, last time Aaron Rodgers had it, cost him 7 games. That was, I believe, in 2013, I want to say. And it cost him 7 games. Now, there is no word this time if it's going to cost him the whole season. There's speculation it will. But I do want to say the last time Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone cost him 7 games. We'll see if that's the case this time. But Aaron Rodgers, at least for the significant future, Matt, is done.
I mean, as a football fan, first and foremost, you don't want to see this. And it's a major hit to the game when you lose one of the best in the business, one of the best of all time, and you see him go down. But when you look at it on the landscape of things, I mean, look at the Vikings and what they've lost this season. Okay, Sam Bradford, he played that one game on Monday night. He looked great. Sam Bradford, you know, has had a so-so career at best. But, you know, he was possibly going to take this team to higher levels this season. They lose their fantastic rookie running back in Dalvin Cook. So as much as this is devastating to the Packers, to the fantasy goodness that they provide in the wide receiver area, you know, Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, that was a big debate yesterday, who to start. I got to think going forward, if Hundley's the guy, I think Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, take a nice, get a nice bump up, because I think there's going to be a lot of drop-off passes, a lot of dink and dunk. This is still a very, very good wide receiver core, and they're going to take a hit, but maybe you got to buy low on some of these guys.
You know, it's interesting. We're going to talk about that in just a few seconds. Scott, if you're an Aaron Rodgers owner, what do you do?
Well, you can go to sportsgrid.com this morning and read my article that I wrote last night about 8 quarterbacks to trade for. If you have Aaron Rodgers, you know, you don't have to get a Drew Brees to, you know, necessarily replace an Aaron Rodgers. There are guys that if the rest of your roster is competent that, you know, and, you know, this is the problem, I think, if you went quarterback too early, that maybe it isn't. But, you know, a trade is really the only way, obviously, to compensate for this. And there are guys you can acquire, like Alex, anybody from Deshaun Watson all the way down to Alex Smith. I think it's about finding the right owner in your league who has 2 quarterbacks, and there are 1 or 2 teams like that in every league who, you know, have a, you know, say, you know, a Drew Brees and a Carson Wentz, a Deshaun Watson and a Russell Wilson. You have to find those guys, or they're going to come looking for you, very likely, because that's what you're going to do. When, if you're the guy going to look for the Aaron Rodgers owner this morning, remember, you got to structure a deal that you think that you would take if you're on the other side. You know, I know I'm going to see offers like, well, I offered him Eli Manning for Julio Jones because he needs a quarterback, right? It's not just about need. You want to have like a realistic shot of getting the deal done. Also, right now, it's just like, if we can make like an all-fantasy injured team, man, what would it look like? Aaron Rodgers, David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, Odell Beckham Jr. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, here's one of the things. I kind of get mocked sometimes, especially in the preseason, when I would say, I like to draft two quarterbacks. I'm not saying I'm drafting them right next to each other, but I always like a good quarterback. I've been called the quarterback snob. But later on, when people are taking an upside shot on, you know, a backup running back or something, I'm getting a competent backup because I don't want my season to go down. Now, I don't want to have to be going out trading assets. Now, if you're trading your assets to acquire another quarterback right now, that's, you know, that's making you deficient in another area.
It is. There's no doubt about it. And it, unfortunately, when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, like Drew Brees, like Tom Brady, and at least when I have had these type of guys in the past, I haven't bothered with the second quarterback because it was never like I was going to start them, right? Even if you go to a tier lower, like the Russell Wilson tier, for instance, I would draft the backup because, like, you never know. Like, maybe they stink. Maybe the matchup is terrible. Maybe I could talk myself into going in a different direction. But when it comes to Rodgers and Brees and Brady, I wouldn't. Like, I'm just talking from my real, honest perspective. I wouldn't because I knew I was never benching Aaron Rodgers. Unfortunately, you've now gotten to the point where you have to, where you have no choice to either have another quarterback and acquire one some way. And with a bunch of the injuries and ineffectiveness we've seen at quarterback, the waiver wire, I can assure you, is scarce at this point. But, Scott, let me ask you this. Last time, as I said at the top, Aaron Rodgers had this collarbone injury. It cost him 7 weeks. Do you believe there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers returns here? And if so, should we drop Aaron Rodgers?
I don't want to speculate. I don't know how a body heals. Like Dr. A would tell us, everybody's body heals different. If the Packers fear that he's lost for the season, I think medically they have a realistic shot to believe that. I think, you know, your waivers don't run today in most leagues. I think if they do, I think you still hold on and you wait to hear the official news because you just never know. You never know how anybody's body's going to heal, but I think when you hear for certain that somebody's out, then you go ahead and drop them, but you got to be prepared. You have to be starting looking at the trade market today.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you're going to get a ton of trade requests. It's funny because David Johnson injured week one or two, and Scott's been very adamant. He, from his sources, he's not coming back. He's droppable, all that. And I know people, a lot of people, Matt, they have not dropped David Johnson. They have not. They've decided, listen, we're going to see if this thing is anything. And I think we're going to get into the same type of realm with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's 7 games left for the Packers in our fantasy season. When we look at it that way, you have to assume he's pretty much going to miss the rest of the fantasy season. Maybe if you hold on to him, he comes back for the playoffs. But unless you have an IR, can you really do that? I mean, I've held on to David Johnson in one of my leagues,
okay,
but it's an overall league. They came out and said if David Johnson is dropped, he will be taken out of the player pool. So right now, that team, well, I lost this weekend, but it's 4-2. It's like second in points. So I've been able to tread water.
You've been able to tread water, and you're right. It's a little bit different. The rules are different, obviously. So you didn't feel comfortable. And I have to imagine in that same league, they'll say that Aaron Rodgers is dropped. He's out of the player pool, too. I have to imagine.
I'm going to assume that. The thing I'm going to look at right now and I want to do, I still think, like, this is going to be a passing offense. This is the guy that, you know, he wasn't drafted this year. It's not his first season with the Packers. He's been with the organization. And the Packers aren't a team that really goes outside the organization. That's not their style.
No, absolutely not.
And look, I think Hundley can move in the pocket. He's an athletic person. It's a major downgrade, obviously. But they're going to throw the ball still. So you got to have guys like Adams, Jordy Nelson, Cobb. If their owners are like, you know what, it's time to bail, time to get out. If you can get a discount, it might be worth buying him.
Yeah, you know, I completely agree. I completely agree that with Aaron Rodgers, you're in a very tough spot. I don't think there's any question about that. But now we have to look to the future. We have to look to Brett Hundley. Scott, obvious question before I get to all the pass catchers and skill position players there. Can you use Brett Hundley to replace Aaron Rodgers? You have all these skill position players. It's a high-powered offense. Can you use Brett Hundley?
I think you roster him, but you don't feel comfortable about it. I think you got to go out and make a deal because most times when teams go to the backup quarterback, it's a downgrade for whatever reason. Of course, anybody from Aaron Rodgers is going to be a downgrade. But I don't think even with the weaponry around him, you can feel comfortable. It's like, has anybody really? It's not going to be a Deshaun Watson kind of thing, you know. I think that kind of thing is rare. I think you roster him, but you also go make a move somewhere you're looking forward to having, maybe saying Matt Ryan and Brett Hundley.
This is like, for me, this is the time where you approach the Andrew Luck owner before there's a concrete date of his return. Where, you know what, he's like, maybe I can just get something for him. I know he's held on to that guy, but maybe he needs help some other area where you have a little bit of a surplus.
You know, I'll tell you what. I'm the Andrew Luck owner in my league. I'll be happy to give him up to the Aaron Rodgers owner. I could not wait to get rid of this guy.
If I had Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't want to acquire Andrew Luck because I feel like, what am I going to do for the next 2 to 3 weeks if he doesn't come back? I need a steady solution.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Scotty, because there is no guarantee when he comes back yet.
Okay, but here's my counter. I get what you guys are saying. Yeah. If you have somebody for a week or two to help bridge that gap,
right.
Luck is the one guy who could put up Aaron Rodgers type numbers. So that's the way I'm looking at it.
I get it, right? Andrew Luck is the guy you can acquire that ultimately could put up the closest numbers to Aaron Rodgers. I agree with that.
Are you going to make two trades, though?
It'd
be difficult.
It is difficult. It's also going to be difficult to project what's going forward with Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, and more. But we're going to try to do it anyway. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Wow, I'm looking at this can't be updated, right? I'm looking at like my picks from yesterday. I think I got three games right. I'm not even kidding. I think oh my god, I've never had such a bad day in my life. I got three games right total yesterday. Shows you what I know. Very, very little. Very, very little. All right. Let's get back into the Green Bay Packers. And we talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers. Now let's talk about how it affects everybody else. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones. I would have to imagine all three of us at this table and everybody listening, somewhere you own one of these guys, right? Like, somewhere you have a piece of this offense because you always wanted a piece of the offense. You wanted to buy into Green Bay. Well, Aaron Rodgers is gone. So, Matt, what do you do? What do you expect? What do you want? Like, I'm an Adams owner. I'm very, very happy with his production thus far. He scores in almost every game. He's doing his thing. But I'm nervous.
Look, everybody's going to be nervous if you have shares of these guys. But what are you going to do? Are you going to sell them for a discount and just get out? I mean, the thing that really going to affect them is the touchdowns. Like, there's nobody better in the red zone at just buying the time and making that, like, you know, behind the shoulder. I mean, we've seen it with Adams versus Dallas when Jordy went out. He just did that. I mean, Jordy's become a major red zone target. Going into yesterday, he had 6 touchdowns on 19 targets, and that's been his game post-injury. Since he's come back, he's been more of that, you know, red zone guy catching touchdowns than Jordy running down the field. I mean, I'm gonna see what the Randall Cobb owner wants for Randall Cobb or Devontae Adams and so on. I do think whoever, if it's a split, it's gonna be difficult between Jones and Montgomery. But I'm going to inquire about those guys, too.
I think you don't know who's really going to become the go-to guy for Brett Hundley. You know, it's different when you come in, nobody's prepared for you. The next teams will prepare for him. You know, who's going to become his go-to guy and how much upside are they going to have? It's very, very uncertain. You know, with the running backs, this could continue to be a timeshare between Montgomery and Jones because they both offer different skill sets. If they're both healthy, Does the tight end suddenly become relevant because it never did with Aaron Rodgers? Does this team run the ball and they drive? It drives down the appeal of the wide receivers. It's all a wait and see game. If you're going to go after any of these guys, I understand from one perspective because the Packer owner is going to be panicky. But I can't imagine myself giving up a lot for either of these guys anyway, because it's just, it's unpredictable. You don't know what happens when the backup quarterback has come in the game and he really has no NFL experience to speak of.
Yeah, I'll say this. I'm not trading for any of these Packers wide receivers at the moment.
Well, you're looking to buy like a dip. Like when you play in the stock market and a good stock takes a little bit of a dip and you can get in. Vic, I still believe they're going to throw the ball.
Sure.
And look, how effective can Brett Hundley be? That's to be determined. But he's the guy that's been with the organization. I think this is, it's still a talented wide receiver core.
Absolutely.
These guys are going to get open, and you got to hope that he's going to make the throws.
Yeah, you have no choice but to hope. And as you guys said, like, what are you going to do? Sell them low? Like, that's probably not going to help you. Like, you're... It's funny, because I look at them, would you sell a Devontae Adams for Amari Cooper right now? You wouldn't, because Amari Cooper's terrible, but you're like, oh, well, you have Derek Carr is there, at least you don't have Brett Hundley, and it's like, what are you going to trade any of them for? I don't think there's an obvious answer.
I mean, let's just look real quick at the Indianapolis Colts.
Sure.
When Jacoby Brissett came in, and he's been able to get the ball down the field. I mean, T.Y. Hilton... His season was saved. The owners were saved by that Jacoby Brissett trade.
Yeah.
So you got to hope that maybe with a full week of practice and everything, Hundley's a little more comfortable. Like I said, he was on the road versus a very, very tough NFL defense. Maybe not for fantasy. They haven't been what people expected. But NFL-wise, that is a very, very difficult task to do to go into Minnesota.
I think any time a team goes to the backup quarterback, people assume the worst.
Yeah.
And to assume the best, you want him to be Jacoby Brissett. And I just don't know if he can be that sort of guy. Yeah, he does have some mobility. He does have a good receiving crew. That certainly helps the cause. There are positives and there are negatives. But it's really just about the fear of the unknown. And, you know, I'd rather, if I'm going to make a trade for what. And that's it'll lower the asking price, you know, like Matt is pointing to, because there is a fear of the unknown. But what are you giving up to get him? Like, can you? And it's all about how you sell it. You could say, well, Amari Cooper, you know, could have had 31 and 21 yard catches yesterday. If it weren't for two penalties, you know, maybe you should go ahead and take him and, you know, give me one of your Green Bay wide receivers because it looks better. It's all about how you sell it. Like, somebody more experienced like me would be like, well, if you like the guy so much, why are you trying to get rid of him? But the average fantasy player is not going to say that. They might buy your sales pitch.
Here's the thing that I find fascinating. If you look at the opening line here, New Orleans is at Green Bay this upcoming Sunday. New Orleans is a 4-point favorite.
Crazy. That's absolutely crazy. There's zero hope over there, obviously, for Brett Hundley. But listen, as bad of a matchup as that was in Minnesota to open, you know, his replacement career of Aaron Rodgers, home against New Orleans sounds pretty nice.
No, it does. I don't think it does. Look at this defense. They've played at least respectably three games, I think, up until yesterday. Then yesterday, five turnovers and three defensive touchdowns. The New Orleans Saints defense is no longer a pushover. Now, I'm not saying they're the Vikings or the Broncos or anything, but these corners are playing really, really good. They're getting a push up front. You can no longer disrespect the Saints defense and say they're a walkover.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Marshawn Lattimore is becoming a star. The other guy on the opposite
Ken Crawley.
Side. Yeah, he's also playing very well. Still, though, the one thing the Saints did have yesterday is they were home coming off a bye. Look, they've played well. I'm not taking anything from them. But now they're going to travel on the road, and it's always a different thing, especially for a dome team for the most part. And I'm going to give Green Bay a fighting chance in this game.
I'll give them a fighting chance in this game, but from a fantasy perspective, the way that secondary's playing, the way that defense is playing, I'm not saying this. Look, they could win the game because they have Drew Brees and they're going against Brett Hundley. But I don't. I think, you know, it's not like Hundley's playing a walkover defense here. You know, you know, this is going to be something of a challenge for him, I think.
Well, yes, obviously, but I don't think it's the challenge that it was this week, right?
No, it wasn't.
Again, in Minnesota.
Because he'll have time to prepare, and they're not the Vikings.
Right, and that's really my point, right? Like, it's not like he says now the Broncos coming to town. Yeah, he has the Saints, which is, like, definitely respectable. I agree, they've improved, they're much better than we thought they were, but it's not like the elite of the elite here.
No.
And that's all.
But I wouldn't say it's a pretty nice matchup. No.
Yeah, but
it is a pretty nice matchup.
I don't think so. Not the way that team is playing.
Okay, who would be a pretty nice matchup? I mean, I'm not saying that they're facing the Titans here or the Patriots defense, which are, you know, the worst defenses in the NFL.
Right.
But like, the Saints, to me, are still a bottom 15 defense in the NFL, which means it's a pretty nice matchup.
I mean, look, it's...
I don't know if I
can. They lost 50 points yesterday!
Look at the mental aspect of
it. It was playing catch-up.
They still have a billion points.
I'm just going to look at it.
I don't think it's going to be easy.
Look, from football to even on, like, say, radio. Like, say Sussman didn't show up this morning.
I'm here.
And I didn't know I was going to be hosting. And I didn't do a rundown.
Right,
and set everything
right.
up. And I got to just audible it on the fly last minute.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be as prepared as if last night I set up the show. I did the rundown like you did.
Mm-hmm.
So mentally, you know, and then he's on the road. You know, he's going up against one of the best defenses in the league. It doesn't matter, like I said, when we look at it at a fantasy perspective, it's not. But in NFL perspective, it is. And you're on the road.
Yeah, I think it's a really great point to highlight that. And it doesn't just go for radio, of course, or the NFL. It's anything at work, right? If your coworker doesn't show up and you are not as entirely prepared as they were for the job, you're doing the best you can. And they come in the next day and you're more prepared and you're going to be more ready. I think the same can be said for Brett Hundley, who I'm sure, let's be realistic, has had zero work with Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and Devontae Adams. I'm sure he did nothing. And I think you saw it in the game calling and game script yesterday, in that it was hand the ball off a lot to Ty Montgomery and a lot to Aaron Jones. And, you know, let's not give this game away, certainly, but let's move on from this, and then we will get you prepared for Sunday.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, they're still 4-2.
Probably the most chemistry he probably has with anybody would be like somebody like
Geronimo Allison.
Geronimo Allison or something like that.
Yeah. But even still, Geronimo Allison isn't going to play over these three guys.
Yeah, no, what it really does is I've had Geronimo Allison on my bench in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
I'm a little still worried about Jordy. And sure. I think this is going to be something we got to deal with the whole season. But if one of these guys went down, he was guaranteed like a role. He had a role on a top offense with a great quarterback. So now his value takes a major hit. So, it's that ripple effect.
I've dropped Geronimo Allison every week. I picked him back up every week. I think he's gone for good now for me with Aaron Rodgers as
the
quarterback.
The case.
I think it's fair to say now. I think Allison's definitely the one they have the most work with. Let's see what he can do on Sunday before we give up on Jordy and Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb. Yesterday, Jordy Nelson finished the game with 6-for-60. He was targeted 10 times. Devontae Adams 5-for-54 and a touchdown. 10 targets for him as well. He broke loose, scored a touchdown, you know, kind of looked around and said, oh, nice, no one's here. Walked into the end zone. And what I thought was interesting, Scotty, was that Xavier Rhodes matched up against Devontae Adams and not against Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. And sometimes you'll see that, where the top cover corner is not on the guy you expect. And, you know, a lot of people in the handicapping the matchup saying, you worried about this top corner? And sometimes man-to-man difference. It is different, and sometimes a team will play totally zone.
We're going to take the break. When we come back, we'll look at everything from the Minnesota side of this game, including Jerick McKinnon, how awesome he looks, Adam Thielen, and they'll move on around the NFL. It's the Roto Experts. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. True story, Don Burns. I've gotten text messages about the song saying, please stop playing that effing fake Lumineers song. And Matt Modica is with them, whatever that means.
I'm glad you I assume Scott did like it.
I like
it's catchy.
Scott, I like it too. Don't worry about it. Hey, So last night, you know, yesterday afternoon, Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, they split carries. Aaron Jones had 13. Ty Montgomery had 10. Neither were extremely effective, but again, weird situation for the Packers yesterday without Aaron Rodgers. Scotty, how would you project this going forward?
I think Montgomery will probably get more carries. I think when he's fully healthy. This drove me crazy just before game time. I actually called Tom Kesenick, you know, who's really in on the Packers, like right before kickoff, and he didn't even know what to make of this. But I think it'll be a split because, you know, both of these guys offer a different skill set. Ty Montgomery can catch passes and he can bang physically, whereas I feel like Jones, you know, maybe can hit that counter, you know, and, you know, slash to the outside. I think they offer two different styles of running, and without Rodgers there, I think they'll have to run the ball more. So I think it's going to be a timeshare.
Yeah, I'm going to, if I had to make a bet here, I'm going to say Montgomery gets the, he gets more of it. And maybe it's 70-30 or something like that. I think he's their guy still right now. Jones is going to have a role. Maybe they're going to, you know, rely heavily on both. So maybe it's even less than 70-30. But I think Montgomery is their guy first and foremost. They've seen Aaron Jones has that upside ability. He can get the job done. I mean, but Aaron Jones, I just want to, like, I look at C.J. Anderson, and C.J. Anderson went off against the Cowboys. And, you know, he's had a good season besides that game. Aaron Jones also destroyed the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, he absolutely did. He looked really, really good. I agree. I think Ty Montgomery ultimately gets more carries and gets the majority of them. But Aaron Jones is going to be involved. Aaron Jones is going to be involved in this offense.
Yeah, well, both these guys will be involved. But I'll tell you, the running back that impressed the hell out of me yesterday was Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, absolutely. Jerick McKinnon was awesome yesterday for Minnesota. 16 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. He also had 5 receptions, 30 yards, and a touchdown. Every time he seemed to have the ball in his hands, he looked explosive.
Yeah, no, he did it. He did it every which way. And for this team right now, it's Case Keenum leading the way. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater is back in a. I think probably hear some Teddy Bridgewater news today, possibly. But you know, so the fact that they have Keenum or Bridgewater coming, a guy like this McKinnon, who can help them out in the short passing game, in the running game, he's shown. This is the other thing too we have to consider is it's a much better and a much more cohesive line. These five have played every game together.
Yeah, absolutely. This line has gotten better as the season has gone on. It's a new and improved offensive line. And you know, Latavius Murray doesn't look good, which is not surprising. But Jerick McKinnon, Scotty, solidifying that status in your lineup.
Yeah, this is what we wanted to see from in the past when he was pressed into
absolutely.
Action. He's much more decisive and much more confident and explosive than he has been in the past. He looked just like a speed guy who didn't know where to go. Now you can see the experience, and you can see the savvy more in his game. He's confident. It's just something you perceive.
Are you saying that maybe he got better since his rookie year?
I think he has. Yeah, well, you're right on that. Yeah.
He got better. Yeah. That's one thing. But also, it's a lot different when you have a hole open.
Yeah, of course.
And you can see and make that, you know, it's a combination of everything. We've always thought this kid was talented. There was no doubt about that. It was, could he really be like a runner? He's not a bell cow guy, but, you know, he had the opportunity. Look, Lat Murray is just not good. Lat Murray had the opportunity on a goal line carry. He got stuffed. Like I said, if you want McKinnon in waivers over the last week or two, then you're looking pretty good.
And it's not just about the line, too, because when you're out there in space, the way he's running with authority now and the yardage after the catch is not something we've seen in the past.
Yeah, but with the line, Scott, there's times when if you don't have a chance, if somebody's in the backfield and you don't have a chance, that, you know, there's no way to go and there's no upside there. So, I mean, look, I got to give this line's taken a lot of, the Vikings have taken a lot of heat the last couple of years with having a terrible line. And, you know, they drafted a kid and they've made a couple of moves. And I'm not saying it's fantastic by any point, but you can see, as a lot of people talk about, as the season goes along and an offensive line plays together, that cohesiveness, you see the improvement and you see them get better.
Yeah, and we've seen that with Jared McKinnon. Without Stephon Diggs in the lineup, Adam Thielen predictably goes off. He has 9 catches, 97 yards. He was targeted 13 times. Kyle Rudolph was targeted 9 times without Diggs. 5 catches, 47 yards. Laquon Treadwell ran as the third wide receiver in front of Michael Floyd. He was targeted 3 times, just like Floyd was, but he came down with 351. Really an awesome catch down the left sideline.
Well, Floyd was in there early, but then he injured himself.
Okay.
So that's why you saw something of Treadwell, who you know, actually, like, had one bonehead penalty, and, you know, they had to basically calm him down on the sidelines.
Okay. So there you go. Minnesota defeats Green Bay 23-10. And, Matt, maybe your prediction to win the North isn't so crazy now.
No, see how it's the NFL. Every week, you know, everything changes. It's so volatile, so violent. And, you know, it's who can survive the 16 weeks.
Yeah, it's about being healthy. Now that the Packers have pretty much like been knocked off without Favre, let's say he's gone for the season, are the Eagles really the best team in the NFC?
Did you just say Favre?
I'm sorry, Rodgers.
You watching those shaving commercials?
Got my Wrangler jeans on.
Somebody on Twitter had the thing with like Brett Favre smiling in that commercial.
Sure.
But Brett Favre's 48 years old, people. Please don't give us the...
No, I think it's over.
Are the Eagles the best team in the NFC right now?
They're playing like it. They're playing like it. I'll say that.
Yeah, no, the Eagles faced off against the Chiefs, and it was at the end a closer game than maybe the score predicted. Those probably, as of today, have played the best over...
I think
you know,
so.
But I don't really think there's a dominant team at all.
In the entire NFL.
Yes, in the entire NFL.
Let's talk. We talked about New Orleans before and their defense. Let's get into New Orleans and Detroit here for a little bit. New Orleans gets about to what, a 45-10 lead over Detroit. Back to back pick sixes. It was like insane what was happening. And I remember I was at a bar yesterday watching these games, and I was paying attention to all like my fantasy matchups, of course, and whatnot. And I look over to this TV and I'm like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, this is a one-score game. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And it finishes 52-38. Drew Brees didn't really have to do anything. Mark Ingram looked really, really good throughout the day. 25 carries, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. He had caught 5 more passes, 36 yards in the air. Technically, Alvin Kamara got the start. But Mark Ingram looked excellent, Scott, yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And... you know, they were able to set up short fields for him. I think it's probably mentally a relief to him. I can only speculate that Adrian Peterson's now out of the picture. He wasn't getting touchdowns before yesterday. They're using Kamara as a runner. And look, they did give up 38 points, yes, like you said, but the defense still won this game for the Saints yesterday, and that's why Drew Brees didn't have to do much.
Look, the Saints' backfield got a major boom with the exodus of AP, who had a hell of a day, but we'll get into that later. But, I mean, it wasn't that Adrian Peterson was taking away all these snaps. It was maybe 7 to 9 a game, but he was, like, maybe interrupting the flow of everything.
Yeah.
And now that there's no more hesitations or worries that Adrian Peterson's going to be a distraction, we saw it yesterday. I started Ingram and Kamara in one of my leagues, and I'm going to probably do that going forward.
You know, I'm with you there as well. Ted Ginn Jr. yesterday, 4 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown. He looked good early on.
He almost had a second touchdown.
He did almost have a second touchdown. He looked good early on yesterday, and it was a disaster day for Michael Thomas. 3 catches, 11 yards on 6 targets.
And lost the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was shocked, as you said. Like, it was 45-10, and then it was like 45-31.
Yep.
I was like, what's going on here? But yeah, Michael Thomas owners had to be devastated yesterday.
Devastated.
I mean, I own him in the GST. That's about it. And that was, as you say, monster letdown. I think the offense, look, it was really Snead's first game back. He still really hasn't been 100% healthy neither. But I think getting Snead back will help this. You see, I think it opens up Ted Ginn. I think it helps Ted Ginn there. And like I said, the backfield, you got the Ingram and Kamara. You got to be happy if you own either of the guys. And if you own both, like I said, I think I'm going to start him against Green Bay.
I think you have to. I think you have to right now.
Kamara is not only a pass catcher, he's also saw that they're willing to give him the ball as
definitely
a runner. He plays that old Pierre Thomas kind of role, and he's more explosive than I remember Pierre Thomas being.
On the other side, for Detroit, it was such a weird game, you know, with with how the defense is played. But they put up 38 points. Stafford throws three touchdowns, also throws three picks, was sacked five times, threw for 300 yards.
Lost two fumbles.
Golden
Tate left with an injury.
Yeah, Golden Tate was 7 for 96, had a touchdown. He left with the injury. Marvin Jones looked really good, to be honest with you. 6 for 96 and a touchdown. And
including a beautiful one-handed catch.
It was fantastic, yeah. Right? Like, you know, theoretically, I actually, that was a bit of a disappointment yesterday because they were in comeback mode the whole game and you only had five catches for 45 yards. This was the game I needed for theoretic, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was doing Fantasy Football Live and we got the red zone on, and George was telling me, I guess he had the game on, he was seeing more of it. And he was saying, you know, maybe Stafford shouldn't be out there earlier in the game.
Yeah, 100%.
And I was watching the highlights. I didn't get to see the extensive highlights, but I got to watch some highlights.
Right.
And Stafford was taking some nasty hits.
Monster hits.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this game. I was surprised he actually finished the game.
Jay Gronick was warming up, I saw, as well. So I was very surprised. We'll have to see today how serious the injury to Golden Tate's shoulder is, I believe. Marvin Jones, like I said, though, he looked good, man. He really looked good yesterday. So.
Yeah, he's throwing him the ball downfield. Still is a chain-moving receiver. I don't trust him. I think he's too boom or bust.
We'll talk more about this game and wrap up the hour coming up next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
We're back here now on the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And kind of wrapping up this thing with Detroit. And yes, Marvin Jones, like I said, Scotty, I thought he looked good yesterday. I thought Golden Tate looked good. And it was against the vaunted Saints defense. So I don't think, like I said, it's a pretty nice matchup.
Well,
I think
you said they did give up 38 points, but they also won the game with them with all their turnovers, etc.
Of course.
And that's why I say it's tough for Hundley next week, because this is an opportunistic defense. They may give up points, but look, they shut out Jay Cutler, and how do we know Brett Hundley's going to be any better than Jay Cutler?
We don't, but I think the weapons in the bench should be enough. The coach, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm going to take the Packers plus the four.
I agree. I like the Packers plus the four also. And hopefully some points for Devontae Adams, most importantly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, Golden Tate is fine after this thing. I want to hear some, we'll find out more today. I believe we have Dr. A coming up on Football Frenzy.
You do.
We'll be asking him about that. And maybe Matthew Stafford. You know, I want to see how he's doing after yesterday. As we mentioned previously in the last segment, you know, he was taking some really big shots. Marvin Jones, I will say, there were some smart people on him.
Yeah, there were.
Shout out to Billy Wise. I know he was one of the guys that was drafting him in every round, like the ninth round or so. So right now he has delivered this season.
You mentioned what Jay Cutler did against that defense, Scott, in London. Well, Jay Cutler went in Atlanta and won on Sunday. 20-17, the Dolphins win, come back from a 17-0 deficit at halftime. I don't know what the hell is going on with this Atlanta Falcons offense, but I am infuriated.
Yeah, I mean, look, Steve Sarkisian, you had the blueprint from last year.
Don't change anything.
I like I said, maybe you want to make a couple of minor little tweaks here or there. To be up 17-0, I don't know what the hell Matt Ryan was doing when, you know, all you needed was a field goal there. You didn't need to force that ball into Austin Hooper, and it got tipped or whatever and intercepted and ended the game. They should have at least tied that. I mean, the Falcons have not been that great. They got lucky week one.
Yep.
They got lucky, it was week four or so. So they had a couple of wins that they were able to hold on to. And, you know, they got to do some revaluation. They were coming off a bye at home against a team that was just amazingly awful to start this season.
They've looked terrible, the Dolphins. And the Atlanta Falcons and Steve Sarkisian's offense has been brutal. Like, how do you give? In a game, you're up 17-0. How does Devontae Freeman finish with 9 carries? How does Tevin Coleman finish with 9 carries? That is not acceptable.
The defense didn't play well either. And with the game plan for the Dolphins was to play ball control and bang Jay Ajayi, and that's exactly what they did. And, you know, this Dolphins defense doesn't look good on paper, but they've played better than what people have expected. And, you know, that's part of it, too. Matt Ryan does not have more than one touchdown pass in a game, I think, and just one 300-yard game. And, you know, another disappointing day for Julio Jones.
Matt Ryan's got, like, six interceptions in the last couple of games. It's, you know, he's got to get on track. That's not good. I mentioned about the Dolphins' defense being better than people thought last week, and a lot of people shrugged that off.
You're right.
Defense has not been the problem. I mean, Jay Cutler, once again, he had 151 yards passing. Jay Ajayi had 130 yards rushing.
You were right about the Miami defense, but there was a point, like, just in the first half, I'm like, why are they just leaving Cutler in there? I mean, the offensive line is not doing him any favors, but he just doesn't look like he adds anything at all. I think he'd be better off with Matt Moore.
Yeah, and Scott, I you're probably right there, but other people have made this point, not me, and it's probably the correct point. Adam Gase went out, got this guy.
Yep.
They ponied up $10 million to him.
Yep.
So he pretty much is tied to Jay Cutler. Unless Jay Cutler goes down with an injury, I think Jay Cutler is
going to... Yeah, but it's being stubborn, though. It's like, you're going to continue to start him out. Amari Cooper and Terrell Pryor in fantasy. I know it's not real football when they're not producing. This guy's not producing.
But you got to look at it. If you brought somebody on, you had Lou Mayon pay somebody a lot of money, and he wasn't producing, you're going to try and coach this kid up as best you can.
Look, there's a lot of times in the NFL where you pay a guy and he doesn't produce, and you just got to take the hit.
You know, I get where you're both coming from, right? Like, you're paying him this much money, you kind of put stock in him, you're forced to play him. There's the other side, right? You go back to the Yankees side, and, you know, they cut Alex Rodriguez and paid him $20 million anyway.
Look, I'm gonna go back to home for this, and people are going to sneer, but look, the Seahawks paid Matt Flynn a lot of money, but they did a smart thing by starting Russell Wilson. Miami should do the same friggin' thing.
Say this, Matt Moore is not Russell Wilson.
Well, I'm just saying the concept.
Big break, 2 hours to go. It's Roto Experts.